what we can do, do the very best you can do to just reach new contacts. And that's what it's all about. We've been spending quite a few weeks here on being a witness. We're going to spend today and next week on that, and getting ready then, of course, the week after that, we'll be starting our revival. So we'll be on that for the next 2 weeks, today and tomorrow, next week. But also, we just need folks to enter into this and become a part of it. Do your best. Amen. No one's putting pressure on you. You have to visit so many a week. You have to do. We're not saying that. We're saying please, please help us. You understand that is that? Yes, Sister Moore.
I've been asking several people that I've been asking over the years.
Yes.
Okay. Is it all right if I send something in the mail and then put your name in on that?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. That'd be great. Absolutely. See, that's making a contact. That way you can fill it out and we'll know who it is. And you might even, down at the comments down here, you might put, I sent them something through the mail, invitation or whatever, you know, and just put that down at the bottom, and that'll let us know. And because, you know, these are going to be followed up on. And so, yes, I think that's great. Any way, folks, to get contacts, any way to get the Word of God into their homes, and that's what it's all about. Amen? And we just got to do that, you see. They're out there, let me tell you. They're out there. I watched for, Donna and I went yesterday to two visits that I'd been wanting to make. We made others, but two that I'd been wanting to make. I watched for homes that people move into. New moves, you know, and I watch for those. Everywhere I go, I watch for those, where there's houses empty, and then I watch when someone moves in. Well, we go. We went to two yesterday and had two good visits. It was two good young couples that, you know, I don't know if they're going to come or not, but we had two good visits with them, you know, and possibilities. They had children, you know, and they're not going anywhere, and, you know, so that's what it's all about. We just got to keep at that and do it, and if every one of us does that, you'd be just surprised what the Lord could do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. We all get excited about that. I hope you're excited about the revival time. I really do. I hope you're excited. I hope you're doing your best to invite people. I might tell you ahead of time, the Tuesday night of our revival is going to be family night, friends and family night. We're going to do everything we can to get our families and friends, you know, we don't care who you bring, but we're going to emphasize friends and family that night. And so you might kind of think of that ahead of time, and that'll be coming out very, very soon here. But on Tuesday night of the revival, we're going to have that. And just do your best, folk, to get folk here. We want to fill this up. We want to see this place filled up. We want to see God do some marvelous things in our lives. And I trust you'll be a part of that. Please don't let it go by and don't get involved in it. Please don't do that. Get involved in it and help us to do some, see some wonderful things here for God's glory. We want to see that. All right. Over in the book of Proverbs, we'll 11th chapter of the book of Proverbs. we've been on the subject of being a witness. And like I said, we'll finish that up next week. But we trust that this pastor's desire was that through these messages was simply to stir us, stir our hearts to loving souls. And I found out something. If you'll love Jesus like we should, if we'll love Jesus like we should, we'll love souls. Ain't no doubt about it, because that's what he loves. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he came for. And so if we'll love Jesus like we ought to love him, we won't have any trouble loving the souls of men. We'll also have a desire to see others come to Christ. So this morning, I want to talk to you about Proverbs. We're going to go to Proverbs 11, verse 30 for a few moments, and then we'll go over probably in First John for a little while. But in Proverbs 11:30, he says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." That's just a tremendous, tremendous verse of scripture. He tells us some wonderful truths out of that. And he tells us if we win souls, we're wise. That's what proves wisdom, if we win souls. But he says also at the first part of that, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now, we discussed this one time. You may not have been here, or you may have, but we're just going to discuss it real quickly. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is not just another piece of fruit. The fruit of the righteous is a tree. It's a tree that can produce fruit. You see, a piece of fruit cannot produce fruit. So that's why God says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. In other words, when we see someone else saved, it's not just a fruit, a piece of fruit that you've brought to Christ. It's a tree that can also produce fruit. Amen? That's why God put that in his scripture. When you and I get someone saved, that's a tree of life. That's something that's able also to produce fruit. Amen? So they go out and they produce another tree of life. They get somebody saved. And so they can then produce fruit, which is another tree of life. So when you think of this, just remember, it's God's way of reproducing. That is God's way of getting it done. He does it through God's people. Now, that's the only way God has left here to do it. Some way he has to work through us to get the word of God into other people's hearts so that he can win them to himself, so that they can get saved, and then so they can help go out and get other people saved. That's the plan God has. There isn't any other plan. And we just need to realize that is the way God does it. Thank you, Brother Ron. You can help her there and get her seated. That'd be great. We're sure glad she's here today again. Such a blessing to have you, Miss Lovall. It's good to have you. So the thing about it is this. We want to keep people out of hell. Don't you want to do that? I mean, do you have a desire for that? I mean, I don't want people to go to hell. I want to see folk that's won to Christ so they won't have to go to hell and spend an eternity in the devil's hell. I think that's in the heart of every true Christian. I believe that would be in the heart of every true Christian. You don't want people to go to hell. Well, it's a wonderful thing, and let me say to you, I think it's wonderful if we can get them saved. But it's even greater if we can get them saved, baptized, and serving God. That's even better. That's what we want to do. Now, I'm glad if they truly get saved, I'm glad they're saved and ready for heaven. I'm thankful for that. But boy, it'd be so much better if they get saved and then follow the Lord in baptism and then begin to go out and serve God. That'd be so much better. Amen. That's God's plan. That's the way God wants it. So, again, we just need to understand it. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to try to go over kind of God's plan of salvation. I realize that most of you in here know God's plan of salvation. You've used the Romans road. You've used those kind of things. But what I want to do is just kind of go over with you this morning and try to make some comments as we go. There's four basic things that I look at that I want to teach an individual when you come upon them and they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There's four basic things that I want to teach them that I feel like is necessary to teach them. It's just a basic plan. First of all, you teach them that they're a sinner. Now, that's simple. I know that's just, very simple, but you've got to help them to understand. Now, we'll come back to these in a minute, but you've got to teach them that they are a sinner. You not only that, you've got to teach them that the payment for sin is death. We're going to cover each one of those in a minute, but you've got to make them understand, well, there is a penalty for sin. It's just not a matter we're sinners, but there is a penalty for it, and that penalty is death. Then we also got to teach them then that Jesus paid the penalty. I mean, Jesus Christ is the one that paid that penalty for them, for us, for all of us. And then we need to teach them that there must be a decision, a time, when they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It just does not happen automatically. You just do not grow into salvation. There's a time, there's a new birth, a time when they need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So what I want to do now, I want to go over to 1 John, over in the epistle of 1 John, please. Fifth chapter. First John, the fifth chapter, and verse number 13 says this. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." I think one of the things that we have to get by when we're dealing with people is the fact that they need to know. There, most people, when you talk to them, do not even believe that you can know. A lot of people do not believe that you can really know you have eternal life. I think this is a wonderful verse of Scripture right here to use to show and to start off talking to them and explaining unto them that God wants them to know. Now, if a person is unsaved, he doesn't know that. He may not admit that, but he doesn't know he has eternal life. He may say, "I think so, I hope so," or "I don't think anybody can know." But what you're doing when you take them to 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 13th verse, is you are showing them that God says, "I want you to know that you have eternal life." I think that's important. And that does away with a lot of their questions concerning the fact how they're feeling inside, whether they admit it or not. They don't know. They don't have that assurance. But God wants them to know. And I think that's important to kind of get that settled. First of all, and you know, usually I'll say something like this to them, you know, that means you, that means me. That's not just everybody he's talking about there. But he said, I say, God wants you to know. You have eternal life. You see, he wants you to know that when you die, that you're not going to go to hell. He wants you to know that. You see, God wants you to know that. Because old devils used that thing about, and you know, you can't know for sure whether you're saved or not. I'm sure you hear this, but I hear this all the time. Oh, no one knows for sure that they're saved. That's what they'll tell you and all these. But this kind of helps to get rid of that argument, because God says, oh, yes, you can. And I want you to know that you have eternal life, that you're my child. And a lot of times, too, you can use, if it helps you to use it, and I think it does me, I'll talk to them about the Bible for a little while. I'll say, you know what? The Bible is a wonderful book. God used, say, 40 different people to write the Bible. And God used them, but he gave them exactly what he wanted pinned down. He done that over a long, long period of time. He's got 66 books. In other words, what you're doing is a little bit is this. You're kind of assuring them that you know just a few things about the Bible. You're not just coming up with all this. You're saying, you know, there's 66 books in the Bible. Another thing I usually tell them is this. You know, every book of the Bible is written for a very special purpose. You take the book of Genesis. I'll usually go to the book of Genesis, and I'll say the book of Genesis is written to us to show us the beginning of all things. He shows us the beginning of life. He shows us the beginning of sin. He shows us the beginning of human government. Did you ever think about that in the book of Genesis? It's the book of the beginnings. That's why it was designed for that purpose. And then I usually go to the book of Revelation, and I'll say there's the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. I said, in the book of Revelation, he shows us the consummation of all these things, the ending of all these things. He shows us how it's going to end out. And I said, and I'll say to them, God has done that to most of the books of the Bible. He has a purpose and a reason for those books of the Bible. And I'll usually then tell them, there's one special book in the Bible. Now, all of them, I said, all the Bible, all the books of the Bible are there. And, oh, we can learn so much. And we can even find out about the wonderful salvation through more than what I'm going to tell you about. But there's one special book that God put in his Bible that just helps us so much to know whether we can go to heaven or not, or know for sure if we're ready for heaven. And that's where I'll get them over to the book of Romans. And I'll say, God has a wonderful book, the book of Romans, to help us to know for sure that we're ready to go to heaven And so I'll begin then to use that as a way to get us over there to the book of Romans. And that's what we're going to do too. We're going to turn over to the book of Romans. Third chapter. So anyway, if it kind of helps in kind of breaking the ice and letting them know about this. Now, let me share with you the way this preacher does it. I realize there's many ways to get started in a conversation and to talk to people. I understand that, and you all may do it different. The main thing is, we must understand this, we've got to get the scripture in. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we're going to get anything accomplished, we've got to get the scripture in. But however you choose to do that is your business. But I have found, and I think I shared this with you, but I have found that very few people ever tell me they don't want me to tell them a story about myself. Now, I don't tell them I'm going to tell you how I got saved. I say, would you mind if I told you a story about myself that happened quite a few years ago? Most people will say, yeah, go ahead. Now, I've had people tell me, no, they don't have time, you know, they don't want to do this or that. But most of the time, they'll say, okay. You know why? Because you're not on them. You're talking about you. And they don't feel the pressure. So what you're going to do is you're going to tell them how to be saved by telling them how you got saved. Now, I think that's a marvelous way to do it. I've used that, and it helps me because they will usually allow me to do that, okay? Remember I said there's sometimes people don't let you, but most of the time they'll say, okay, you know, go ahead and tell me the story about yourself. And I'll begin telling them back when I got saved, and I'll tell them about a little bit about it, how I got saved and all of that, explain how it kind of brought me up to it, and I tell them a lot of times about my neighbor, but I make it short. I don't make it lengthy. I don't go into every detail. But I just kind of tell them, you know, I had some neighbors living across the road from us, and I usually tell them when I was 14 or 15, can't remember which one it was, I went forward in a church, shook the preacher's hand, told them, I'll tell them that, yes, I got baptized, but I didn't really understand salvation. All I'd done was join a church. I'll just tell them. Again, you're putting things into their mind, because a lot of people out there has had that same experience. A lot of people out there has had that. And they've been to church before, and they think they're all right. So what you're doing is you're opening up the door, and you're saying, you know what? I was not all right. All I'd done is joined the church and got baptized, but I did not understand truly how to be saved. And then I'll tell them, but here's how I learned. I'll usually tell them about my preacher, Brother Evans. I'll say, you know, Brother Evans, he was just an old farmer, but he was a preacher of the Word of God. And I say, we got to going over to that church, and he got to teaching us. And then what I'll do is I'll say, here's the first thing that I really remember how he taught us why I need to be saved. Then I'll go into the Romans Road. Okay? So the first thing then that we need to do is teach them that they are, or he is, or she is, a sinner. Now you've got to get that nailed down. They've got to understand they're a sinner. Now, we can use, and of course, verse number 10 of chapter 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I might share something with you even in that. When a person is listening to you and you just kind of quote that verse of Scripture, it's good really to get your Bible and kind of put it up there so that they can see it. Now, the reason for that is when you're just quoting, you're just talking, most of the time they're not going to listen to you. I mean, they're listening, but they don't get it. So a lot of times, even if I quote it, I'll take the Bible and I'll say, now look here, let's look at that again. And I'll say, see what that says? See? And what you're doing is you're making sure they're listening to what you're saying to them. Okay? You're getting the point over. See what God says? God says that all have sinned, you see, and come short of the glory of God. So what you're doing is you've got to nail that thing down that they are sinners. If they're not a sinner, they don't need to be saved. Jesus didn't come to bring the righteous and heal the righteous. He came to bring the sinner to salvation. And if a person doesn't know that he is a sinner, he's not going to need to get saved. Now, he needs to get saved, but he don't know it. True? So you've got to nail that down. You can't go at that lightly. You can't just say, okay, the wages of sin is death, and for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You understand that? Yeah. Sure. Well, you've got to nail that thing down, that you're a sinner. In God's eyes, you are absolutely a sinner, okay? Now, there's ways to do that, but you can just got to nail that thing down. He's got to understand, or she has to understand, she is a sinner. He's a sinner, see? And if he doesn't, you ain't going to do any good to go any further, okay? So you got to nail that down. And I think a lot of times you can tell if they really believe that, if they really understand that they're a sinner, you see, and you just have to use some discernment and let God help you and guide you through this, but you have to nail that fact down that they're a sinner, and you've got to nail it down that, because a lot of times I've had them come back and say, yeah, we're all sinners. I know, but are you? See, you got to nail that down personally. Yeah, we are our sinners, but well, when it comes to salvation, you got to know personally that you, that I am a sinner. Amen? Not just everybody's a sinner. Everybody's sinned. Sure, we've all sinned. But you got to nail that thing down, you see. And what I usually do in that is, I'll make myself a sinner before I make him a sinner. Okay? That helps. I'll say, you know what? God said I'm a sinner. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all about tongues tell him, you know what? I didn't have any trouble when the preacher talked to me about salvation. I didn't have any trouble whatsoever understanding that I was a sinner because I knew I was. And then I'll say, how about you? You know, do you believe you are? You know, do you, most of the time, you know, if they're honest with you, they say, oh, yeah, I know I'm a sinner, you know. But I'm saying what you're doing is you're not leaving them out on the limb out here. You're not making them worse than you. Amen? You're saying, I'm a sinner. But yes, you are too. Amen? So now these things I'm giving you, I think it'll help you if you just try to use them and incorporate them as you know, you'll do it a little different than I do. I know that because everybody's a little bit different. But try to use some of these same principles as you talk to people, you see. Now, first of all, and again, I don't always go through all of this, but I think it's important to let them know, you know what? We're sinners by birth. Because you see, if you know, and that's a problem that we have sometimes in dealing with children, well, adults too, but children, you know, you say, yeah, are you a sinner? Have you ever lied? Well, listen to me. That's a problem. Everybody's lied, but that's not the real problem. The real problem is the sin, that we are sinners. The reason we sin is because we're sinners. You see, you got to get them to understand that is something we were born into. Amen? You born into sin, folks. You didn't after you was born then become a sinner. You was a sinner when you was born. You was born into sin. And so was I. I use the illustration a lot. And if you want to use it, okay. But I use this a lot with me. I'll tell them, I say, I raised 4 children. And, of course, it gives me a chance to brag on my grandchildren. I'll say, I got 12 grandchildren. You know, I'll say something like that. And I said, you know what? I said, I never did have to teach one of them how to be bad. And they'll just laugh. They'll say, yeah, you know what you mean there? Yeah, I know mine. You know, they're thinking back, yeah, my kids too. I didn't have to teach them how to be bad. It comes natural. I said, you know why it comes natural? Because they're sinners. You see, that drives that kind of home. You see, because they understand that. They know they know you spend a lifetime trying to teach children how to be right, do right. That's a lifetime. That's a work. But you don't have to teach them how to do bad. Why? Because nature. It's their nature to do bad. Okay? So what you're doing is then, and you're bringing that then back home to that individual, that yes, well, I'm a sinner too. I have a sin nature. And if they'll look at themselves, they don't have any trouble understanding they're a sinner. Okay? And remember this. Holy Spirit of God's the one that's got a deal in all of this anyway and bring all this together. But what you're doing is giving them the information they need, and it's the Holy Spirit that's saying, that's right, you're a sinner. See, he's hammered it home in their heart. Yes, you're right, you're a sinner. See, that's what the Holy Spirit of God is doing while you're presenting all of this. See, it isn't your winful ways. Amen? It isn't my winful ways. We're just giving the information to that individual where the Holy Spirit can say, that's right, you're a sinner. You've sinned. Come short of God's glory, see. But these little illustrations like the children and things like that, that helps. And sometimes, too, I'll use the illustration, if there's a dog around, I'll say, you know what? You know that dog? You know, he didn't become a dog the first time he barks. He was a dog before he ever barked. He'll say, yeah. I said, well, you know what? He was already a dog. You know what? You didn't sin. You wasn't become a sinner the first time you sinned. You was already a sinner. You sinned because you're a sinner. Amen. Little illustrations like that kind of help sometimes to kind of get them to understand that they're a sinner, because you've got to nail that down. Another thing I'll say to them, not only are you a sinner by birth, but I'll say to them sometimes, and not only that, we are sinners, and I'll even use myself, I'm a sinner by choice. And you know what I'll say to them? I'll say, you know what? I've never had anybody put a gun to my head and say, sin. Made me sin. I chose to. I chose to. Yeah, you can say it too. I chose to. No one made you sin. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by choice. We choose to sin. Amen? You know why? Because we got a sin nature. Amen? So what you're doing is you're trying to make them understand, you know what? They can't help but sin. That's just part of their life. That's the way it is. They're a sinner, you see. And they sin because they are a sinner. So again, do everything you can to bring that down and nail that thing home, and spend some time, whatever time you have to spend on that, spend that time that they are sinners. Now, if you get to the point where, and I've been there, where they're not willing to admit that, and you understand they're having some trouble with that, I've had people tell me, folks, that they never sinned. Well, I've had people tell me that. I've had people tell me, no, they don't sin. And if you can't get them lost, you can't get them saved. But there's a good illustration sometimes, too. You know where it says we come short of the glory of God? You can also use an illustration of that, and I think it's a good one. Like, and I'll tell them like a target out here that's going to shoot arrows at. There's a target. There's a bullseye out there, and I'll say it was way out there, and the first guy got up and shot, and he shot, and he'd come within 50 foot of the target. He didn't even hit the target. And I'll say the next guy got up and he pulled it back as far as he could, and he said he got 10 foot from the target. He didn't hit the target, but he got 10 foot from it. And I said, that next guy decided he was really going to pull it back. He pulled it back, and he just barely hit the target, but he didn't hit the bullseye. I said, how many of them missed the bullseye? And they'll say, all of them. I said, did it really make any difference how far short they came? It makes no difference. We've all come short of the glory of God. Now, we know, you and I know, since being saved, we've all come way short. I mean, completely short. But that gives that person an understanding. You know what? Yeah. God said, all's come short. It don't make a difference if I'm better than this other guy down the road. It don't make a difference. We've all come short. Because, see, a lot of people, what they want to do is they want to look at this other person that they're better than. Okay? They're better than this other individual. It don't make any difference if they're better. They all come short of God's glory. We miss the target. All of us. Amen? So again, you might want to use that, especially if you have trouble getting them to understand that they're really a sinner. Okay? So you just kind of work on that thing and work on that thing till you get them to the place where they understand they've sinned and come short of God's glory. That's very, very important to get that settled. Okay, the next thing we want to teach them is we want to teach them that the payment for sin is death. We got to make them understand that there is a penalty for sin, and we got to make it serious. And if we just leave it with the fact that it's a physical death, they're going to say, "Well, everybody dies. Everybody dies." But it's more than that. this death that God's talking about is more than just a physical death. It's the spiritual death. It's the second death. Amen? And you, again, need to nail that down. All right, now you've agreed that you're a sinner. Well, let me help you understand something. In God's eyes, that's serious business. And there is a penalty for it. And God says that the wages of sin is death. Amen? Wages of sin is death. Now, I want to look at just three words real quick in that. But look at the word wages. A good thing you could do is talk to them about wages. Say, do you understand that? See, it says the wages of sin is death. That's over. Let's turn over there. I'm sorry I didn't turn us over there. In chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're using that first line, the wages of sin is death. Now, the wage, I'll usually say something like this, trying to explain that to them. Said, you know what, you go out and you work and you got a job and you get paid for that job. You earn that. That's your wages for your job, the work you do. That's the wages you earn. You understand that, don't you? Well, they'll say, well, sure. Well, I said, well, God says there's a wage that you earn for being a sinner. You've earned it. You deserve it. It's what you got coming. And that wage is death. That's the penalty. No, it isn't go get 100 stripes. No, you don't go get whipped somewhere for 10 years and then you're okay. No, it's death. The wages of sin is death. And I believe, personally, the best thing to do at that point, I think, is to go over to the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter. In verse number 13 it says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in it, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And I explained to them, when you go on up, I should have read verse 12, when you go on up, I explained to them, this is not God's children standing here. This is all those that has refused Christ as their personal Savior. And this is those, so when they're standing there, it's because they've refused the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never been saved. And then I'll talk to him about verse number 13, and he says, and death and hell, I tell them that death speaks of the body, and hell speaks of the soul. Death and hell, the body and the soul is delivered up. And then in verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The body and the soul is cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And then I really stress the fact that we're talking about a different death than what you and I know about. We know about this physical death. Well, everybody dies. Everybody's going to one day pass on. Well, that's true. Everybody is going to. But this is different. This is the second death. This is the death that God talked about. The wages of sin is death. The second death. And he says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, in that, I think it's important we try to help them to understand, look, there's a second death. There's a death worse than just dying. This death, we're talking about what happens to you for the rest of eternity. Amen? What happens to you for the rest of eternity? You see, again, you can use all kinds of illustrations, but sometimes I'll tell them, I said, have you ever been to a funeral? And they'll say, well, everybody's been to a funeral, you know, and I said, did you ever go down that aisle toward that casket and look as you walked down there and got up there and you seen the individual you went to see and there they lay and there was no life in them? And I said, all you seen was the shell that walked around on this earth all those years. And I said, you may have loved them and all of that, but there was no life in them. They were not there. I'll tell them that's what happens at death, physical death, separation from the body. Completely. But I said, they go somewhere. See, they go somewhere, either to heaven or hell. And I said, that's why God said, you see, the wages of sin is death. In other words, the second death, forever in a lake of fire. And I stress that at verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And I'll stress the fact like this. Now, do you see how important it is that you know for sure that your name is written in the book of life? Do you understand? You see, because God says if it is not written in the book of life, cast into the lake of fire. So I say, now, isn't it important that we understand that we know that our name is written down? And at this point, usually what I'll say to them is this. If your name was not written down in the Lamb's book or in the book of life, what do you think you ought to do about that? I'm trying to put it back on them. I'm trying to get them to say, well, I think I need to get saved. I need to get it written down. See, I want it to come from them, okay? Because that's important. You know, it's not a matter of me talking it into them. Amen? It's a matter that they need to understand my name's not written down. And I need to get that written down or I'm going to be cast in the lake of fire. You see, that second death. So stress that second death, you see. And let them understand that's serious, serious business, you see. Then also, again, this is another illustration you can use. And like I say, you're not going to probably use all of this with one individual, but I'm giving you some things. A lot of times, too, you could talk to them about this lake of fire. And you can say, you know, you ever been out around a bonfire or an old cooking stove? You know, if it's an older person, I'll talk about the old cooking stoves. Or a bonfire that was real hot. And I said, what do you think? Would you want to just go over and put your hand in that fire and just hold it there for 5 minutes? They'd say, no, I don't want to do that. I said, well, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just take the hand and just put it there for 5 seconds. Just hold it right in the fire for 5 seconds. Count to five and pull it out. I wouldn't want to do that. I said, when a person don't get saved, they're in there forever. It isn't 5 seconds. It isn't 5 minutes. It's forever. Those are ways you can stress the seriousness of the lake of fire. See, they'll be burning in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever with no hope of ever getting out. True? See, what you're doing, you're making hell hot for them. Okay? You're trying to stress the fact this is serious business because Satan's done a number on this hell thing. He's got people thinking about it. It's just a place where the little red man, the red suit and with a tail and a pitchfork runs around and everybody's working someplace and it's kind of hot down there and everything. It isn't that. It's burning forever. And we've got to stress it. And in fact, even as I'm standing here talking about it, my heart scringes because I think of all of those that are without Christ. Multitudes and multitudes and multitudes are without Christ right here in Jacksonville, Indiana, and the surrounding areas of this city is without Christ. They're without Him. And when they die, they're going to go to hell. And they're going to burn. And I don't know really how else to stir our hearts to the fact that we need to get involved in soul winning. Amen. So try, do your best to stress to that individual, this is not a light thing, this is serious business. That individual, when you go to hell, you're there forever and you'll burn forever because God said so in His Word. Amen. So teach those things to them. Teach them that they're a sinner. Teach them that there's a penalty for sin. And that penalty is the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. You see, the Bible teaches us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's for God's people. Amen? So when we are, when a person does die, oh, by the way, many of you know Belvy Swaby. She went on to heaven this morning. Went on to heaven. But anyway, that just happened this morning. Harold Thomas called me and told me about it. But a lot of you know Belvy. But you see, she's absent from the body, present with the Lord. But a person who is not saved is absent from the body and opens up their eyes in hell. Big difference. Amen? Serious business. So again, I'm kind of dragging this out a little bit, and you may not drag it out like that, but you need to get down the fact that it's serious business. That this is what's going to happen to an individual whose name is not in the Book of Life. Serious. This is what's going to happen. That's what God says. See, and you're then allowing, you're giving them information that the Holy Spirit of God can do and say, that's right. Holy Spirit is working in them and saying, that's right. That's what's going to happen. Because you're given the truth of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit comes along and says, that's right. In that heart of that individual, as it works with that individual. See, that's right. So, I don't think we're going to have time to go on to the next one, but I want to finish. We just did two of them. But I want to finish the next two next week, the next two steps that we use in showing someone how to be saved. And again, I've used some lengthy things, and I think you understand why, to try to give you some thoughts and ideas about it. But you be sure and nail down the fact that they are a sinner. And there is a penalty for sin. Amen. We got a couple minutes, but I think it'd be better to wait until next week to start on that. Heavenly Father, I thank you again today for the grace of God, your goodness and kindness to me and to all of us. Thank you for salvation that keeps us from hell and allows us to be in heaven. And Lord, help us to be soul winners. Help us to be just a witness for you, telling people how to be saved. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.